Rav quotes the Braisa from Megillas Tainis that the Nes Chanukah, the story of the Nes Chanukah began with the fact that the Yevanim kimu kol hashmanu shebehecha, they caused all the shemen and the Beis Hamikdash to be tomei, and the Meiler couldn't be used for hadlokas hamenora. There was only pach shemen, was only enough to light for one night, and the Nes occurred in a mid for many years. So Achreinim are bothered with Akasha. There is a Mishnah that tells us, Mishnah in Adias, Mishnah in Avodah Zarah discussed, Mashke, it's a big sugi at the end of the first Perikim Sochim, the Mashke Beit Madvachaya, the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdosh, Dochan, Al-Tohar. I think, hey, Yosef Ben Yezer said over three different dinim. Yosef ben Yosef was a Tanu who lived in the days of the Baal Sheni. One of the things that he said was that the Mashkim of the Beis HaMikdash are Tohar. So there's a Machlokes. Rav Shmuel had to understand the din in the Mishnah. So Rav said, Tohar Lagamre. The Raman passed like Rav. Usually when there's a Machlokes, Rav Shmuel. So we pass like Rav in Isabeheta, and we pass like Shmuel in Dini Mamas. The Marsha says, based on the Gemara in the end of Bab Mitzian, that Rav succeeded in getting smicha, Shmuel never got any smicha. Because of the fact that Rav got smicha, that's why we pass him like Rav in Isabel. I don't know exactly why that should be told as that. That's how the Marsha suggests. So we pass him like Rav, who says, Tohar Lagamre, the Mashkin and Beis HaMikdosh are simply not in Kabbal Tumah. And Shmuel disagrees, no, Dochon means that it's Tohar Milatami Acherim. Because Mashke Matami Macherim is only Midi Rabbanon, so in the Beis HaMikdash they never introduced this Chum in Midi Rabbanon. But the Mashke Matami Kapal Tumah, that's a Dimin HaTorah, so how can they change a Din Midi Raisin? So the Raman Paskin is like Rav, that the Mashke and the Beis HaMikdash is simply not in the Kapal Tumah at all, period. So it's not in the Kapal Tumah, so why in the world did the Rabbanu Shlom make a miracle? What do you mean, Timu Kol Hashmanim? The whole thing is a fake. Shemin in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says, it's Tohar. So why did the Rabbanu Shlom make a miracle? It's absolutely unnecessary to do such a miracle. So there was a great Goyen who lived in Lemberg in the 1850s. He wrote the Shalosh Tshuvos Beis Yitzchok. His name was Rabbi Yitzchok Shmelkish. Galatiana Goyen. He has a whole essay in his Shalosh Tshuvos on this kasha. So he says, hey, Yosef ben Yoezer, the Mishnah says Yosef ben Yoezer lived after the Chashmonot. He lived later. He was the one who passed like that, Mashke Beis Matbachaya, the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash, Atohar, Dochon, Namikabutu. But before the days of Yosef ben Yoezer, they mistakenly passed otherwise. They passed that the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash, Namikabutu. So because the accepted psak at the Kufa of the Chashmonaim was that the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash, Namikabutu, so the Ribbono Shel Olam had to make a miracle of Fishi Tosa. But they were wrong. What do you mean? Why did Rabbi Shlomo make a miracle if they were wrong? So he said, you can't say wrong. We have a klal in the Gemara that doesn't always apply, sometimes applies. You sometimes say, Eilu li'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Erevin, on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, regarding the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that most of the time we paskan like the Beis Hillel. The Mishnah in the first parak in Shabbos says that there was one occasion that Beis Shammai outvoted Beis Hillel on 18 issues. So the Yud Ches Gzeiris, the Yud Ches Dovar, was in one sweeping psak that they passed him like Beis Shammai in 18 cases. And Tosfos writes in the beginning of Sukkah and of Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosfos quotes from the Siddur of Amram Goyim that there are an additional 6 cases scattered about through Shas, again that we passed him like the Beis Shammai. 6 cases in addition to the 18 is 24. So 24 cases we pass from like Beis Shammai, and everything else we pass from like Beis Hillel. So whenever there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and we know how we pass him, that means that he's right, and they're wrong. So the Gemara says, no, it's not that they're wrong. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. We spend time, when you learn Gemara Yevamos, there's a Sugi Yevamos, Daf Lamed Aleph, about Beis Shammai's opinion, about Maimer. When a man dies leaving no children, and his wife has to have either chalitza or yibum, so before she has the yibum, the yavam is supposed to give, the surviving brother is supposed to give a kesef kiddushin. Say, Harei HaKadoshin Slik, the tabazu, that's called maimer. So there's machlokes, it's Bisham and Bisil, whether maimer is in the Raisa or in the Rabban. So we pass like Bisil, maimer doesn't exist on the level of the Raisa, it accomplishes, it's not needed, it doesn't accomplish anything, the whole thing is an invention of the Rabban. Bishamay say no, that Maimer plays a role on the level of their Isis. So we don't pass like Bishamay. Nonetheless, in the yeshivas we spend a lot of time learning the opinion of Bishamay. So why do you waste time? It's not Bittul Torah. If Bishamay is wrong, it should be Bittul Torah. So the Gemara says no. When we spend time to understand Bishamay's opinion, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So not only is it a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we have even lahalacha, that it's relevant halacha lamaisa. So here, this is how the Beis Yitzchak says, there was a machlokes bizman bayisheni, where the mashke bay matvachaya docha. When it came to the generation that Yosef ben Yezer lived, so he said his tradition is, and now it's nifsak lahalacha like that. Mashkem in the Beis Hamikdash, not mekabel tumah, period. But until that time, it was back and forth, disputed. So at the Tkufa, at the historical period of the Hashmonaim, the Psak HaMekubal was that the Mashkem in the Beis Hamikdash are mekabel tumah. So since that was the Psak HaMekubal, it's not that it's wrong, it's not that it's a toys. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle to satisfy that shita that they were following at that time. It's such a fascinating Gemara, Menachos also. The Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on top of Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how the Gemara describes it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote a whole Sefer Torah, and he wanted to give him the Sefer Torah. We usually assume, the Ramban HaChumash usually assumes that the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu over the course of the 40 years in the Midbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated word for word, letter for letter. But this Gemara Menachos describes it a little differently, as if Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, or he was up in heaven, wherever he was there. The Masuka discussed, what do you mean he was up in heaven, but he was on top of Har Sinai? So which is it? Is it the same thing? The Gemara says his feet were above the ground, but he was lamata me'asor tefachim. So a strange Gemara. So the Gemara Menachos says Moshe Rabbeinu was up there on Har Sinai in the heaven, and the Baruch Shalom wrote the whole Torah, and he's about to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's waiting. So Baruch Shalom says, wait a minute, I have to put in tagim. Baruch Shalom starts putting in tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need the chashkalach for? It's good the way it says, I don't need the tagim. So the Baruch Shalom tells him, no, there's going to be a big Kamachachim is going to come in many generations, then he's going to be Rabbi Akiva. He's going to darshan al kol kos v'kotz to the tilim shavavach. Rabbi Akiva's going to have drushes on all of the tagim. He's going to come up with new digs. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait till the Baruch Shalom finished putting in all the tagim. Took a while. And then he took the turn and he brought it down. So you would have thought the Baruch Shalom held Moshe Rabbeinu waiting because of the tagim. You would have thought that we paskin like these dinim, Rabbi Akiva, with the tagim. The Gemara doesn't quote one drosha from Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says he darshan al kol kotz for kotz on every tag. Tila, tilim shal alochas, tons of alochas. We have nothing mentioned in the Gemara. We absolutely don't pass like that concept. We don't darshan anything from the tagim. So why did the Baruch Shalom waste his time? Why did he keep Moshe Rabbeinu waiting? The answer is, that's one lahalacha learning, which we absolutely don't accept lahalacha. But the Baruch Shalom put in the tagim because he wants that such a shita should exist. So here also, the Baruch Shalom made a miracle of Nes Chanukah because there was a shita in the Mashkan Beit Matbachaya. Atome, but it is Mekabel Tumah, and therefore you cannot use Shem and Tomei for Hadlakas HaMenorah. And the truth of the matter is that it's not so. The whole din is mamish. The whole din doesn't exist the way we pass in Halacha. The whole din doesn't exist. Nonetheless, the Rabban Shalom made the miracle because of the fact that they held like that. So this is a very intriguing idea. Eilu v'yeilu divi l'kim chai. How is that possible? What does that mean? That the opinion of Hisham and the Timnasil, they're both correct. How do you understand that? So there is a ritva on that Gemara, the end of the first parak in Erevin, where the ritva quotes a traditional pshat that he heard from his rabbeim. And today, that's the going pshat. The Sefer HaChinuch has a different suggestion, but this, the way the ritva said, this is how the Maharsha writes in the Chidushi Agoda. And this is how the Maharal Niprag writes also in his Biurim on Hagodas. Say like this ritva. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives you a mashal. When Moshe Rabbeinu is on top of Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching him the laws of tzitzis. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the din in this case? He says, pasul. What's the din in that case? He says, the tzitzis is kosher. What's the din in Hilchos Shabbos? He says, in that case, asur. This case, mutar. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, what about in this case? So Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that's a great area of halacha. It has elements of isa, elements of heta, elements of psul, elements of heksher, elements of chiyuv, elements of ptur, whatever area in halacha it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he leaves it up to the hachra of the chachmei hador shebechol dor v'dor based on their perception of kol ha-Torah kula. You can have different people looking at the exact same thing. That's them standing here in the room. There's a shtender, and there's a loudspeaker, and there's a group of people with chairs, and the ceiling with light fixtures and windows and so on. So I'm standing over here, I see everything. I have 20/20 vision with the glasses. I see everything from one perception. Someone sitting in the back sees everything with a different perception. And someone looking in from the door, or someone looking from the door, they has a third different perception. All the perceptions are correct. Everybody's looking at the exact same thing. See, sometimes when we have a shayla in our generation, what the din is, they get five different answers. Four of them are amaratzim. We don't know what in the world they're talking about. One is a reform rabbi, a conservative rabbi, a reconstructionist rabbi, lady rabbi, an orthodox rabbi who never passed his bechinas v'smicha. And then you have Rabbi Yashiv. He says what he says in Shulchan Aruch. One person knows the right answer, the other four don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes you have all five don't know what they're talking about. No one knows what they're talking about. We're talking about everybody has 20/20 vision. Everybody sees kol ha-Torah kula. They're all looking at the exact same thing, but each one looks from a different perception. All the perceptions are correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, he said, "This is black. This is us, and this is white. This is mutter. But this is chiyuv. This is ptur. This is pasul. This is kosher." And then he said, when Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, "What's the din in this case?" And Baruch Hu told him, "That's a great area of halacha. Has mixed in, as a blend, elements of isa, elements of heta, elements of chib, elements of tur, and I leave it up to the discretion of the chachmei hatorah shebechol davador to determine, based on their perception, based on their picture of kol ha-Torah kula." So that's taka elu elu divrei kimchai. They're both correct. You can't say that one is right and one is wrong. From your perception, you're right. From his perception, he is right. They're taka both right. This concept of Eilu V'Yedah Divinu Kim Chayim is not only relevant with respect to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that when we spend a lot of time in yeshivas to learn that daf and yavam is that Rabban Aleph with the Bisham Shita on the Maimer. The Maimer is a Konam in HaTorah, even though we absolutely don't pass like that. Halach HaMaisa, we don't pass like Bisham, right? But when you study Bisham Shita, it's a Kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Let's say, when I was growing up, there was a Shamas in the Shul in the Bronx. I lived in the Bronx for a period of time. My family lived in Philadelphia, and there was no yeshiva for me. So they sent me to New York to stay by my grandparents, to go to yeshiva Ketan in the Bronx. So I remember there was a shamas in one of the shuls in the Bronx. He used to write svarim. He didn't know what in the world he was talking about. And Amoris, he made mistakes. I remember one of his svarim he writes, on the gears of the Yankees and the mistakes, on the jokes. His svarim are joke books. So I remember one of the svarim he writes, he doesn't understand in Lashon Kodesh, of course, in Rabbinic Hebrew. He doesn't understand what the Rabbanim are hacking at Chinik about making tea on Shabbos, bishul on the tea bag. Who eats tea bags? Bishul is on food. Nobody eats the tea bag. No, there's no issue of bishul. The Gemara talks about bishul on tar. The Gemara talks about bishul on wooden pegs. The Gemara talks about bishul on kalin. You see the fairish. There's a din of bishul on food, a bishul on beverages, and a bishul on non-food items also. The fairish in the Gemara. It could be that he's right, that there's no din of bishul on tibex, but not for the reason that he gave. It could be for other reasons. But there is a din of bishul on non-food items as well. And this whole sefer is like that. One simon after the other, everything is all wrong. So is there a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? If I know in advance, they told me in advance that this is a joke book, everything it says here is not reliable. So that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you know everything is inaccurate, so it's bitul zman, it's bitul Torah. So why do we ever spend time learning Beisham Mashita? We know in advance we don't pass them like them. So the answer is no, Beishamai is Eilu V'Yedah Divrei Kim Chayim. We don't like to pass them like Beishamai. The halacha is always to pass them like Beisiru. Because they were in the majority of Haram Rahatos. But Beisham Mashita still constitutes a Chepta Shal Torah. If you learn Beisham Mashita, it's a Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says in Brachas, Adaf Lamed Vav in Brachas, many of you may have learned it. Brachas is a nice mitzvah to learn, nice and easy. You can learn on your own. So gea halacha lemaisa. So the Gemara Brachas has a din. There's a din of orla v'chutz la'aretz. There's a din chumash in Parashas Kedoshim kisavoy al ha'aretz. When the Jewish people come to Eretz Yisrael and the type and call it's Michael and they plant fruit bearing trees, Pears that grow the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat. May well be that nothing will grow the first 3 years. That's often the case. Okay, nothing grows, no problem. But if pears do grow in the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat them. That's a din of orla. So the Chumash only talks about orla beretz yisrael. He said, "Vay al haaretz." What about orla b'chutz laaretz? We should have really said that this is an agricultural mitzvah. And all the chavis karko, all the mitzvahs on kliyos baretz only apply in eretz yisrael. They don't apply in chutz laaretz. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, makes such a statement. Call mitzvahs on kliyos baretz, all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in eretz yisrael. They don't apply in chutz laaretz. Except, and the Mishnah gives you a few exceptions, two or three exceptions. It says, orla b'chutz laaretz is no hay. So the Gemara has a machloikis amarayim. What is the nature of that din? So one opinion is that it's only midirabah. Minatora, the Chumash reads clearly. Orla is only no in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi and Brachis sounds like he passed like that opinion, that orla b'chutz laaretz is only midirabah. And the accepted opinion is not like that Rashi, like the other opinion in Kiddushin, that orla b'chutz laaretz is halacha l'moshe nisina. Torah Shabbal Peh has a tradition, an oral tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and even though in the Chumash it only talks about Orla Beretz Yisrael, Orla B'chutz Laaretz is also Osar B'Achila. So the Gemara asks Akasha, there's a Mishnah in Orla that says that if you have a Suffolk Orla Beretz Yisrael, you go to the store and they're selling fruits and you don't know whether these fruits grew within the first 3 years or not. That's why you need Hashgacha on oranges in Eretz Yisrael. In America, you don't need hashgacha on oranges. What could it be? It can't be tevel. There's no chumazimaisis in America. What can it be? Kloy hakera. If you have a vine growing next to an orange tree, that's not kloy hakera. If you have two trees growing one next to the other, they can be growing right next to each other. There's no din of kloy. Kloy is by vegetables. You can't grow near each other. Kloy hakera is also by nobody else. But oranges can't become kloy hakera. So the only thing it could be is it may be orlo. Maybe in America, if you buy oranges, maybe these oranges grew from a tree that was within the first 3 years. So it's a suffix. You don't know whether this orange tree is orla or not orla. The Mishnah says suffix orla b'chutz laaretz is muta. It's suffix orla b'eretz yisrael is asa. So you go to the store. The store has to have some supervision, has to have some asha. If he's buying from a farm, then we know that the farmers are not going to give us orla. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael you need hashgacha on the oranges to make sure that it's not orla. It shouldn't be suffik orla, and it shouldn't be teva. It should be gemaiset. So the Gemara is bothered with a kasha. Bishleim, if you hold that orla b'chutz laaretz on a midirabbanan, so you understand suffik orla b'chutz laaretz is muta. That's the din of speka derabbanan lakula. But if you hold the way it's generally assumed today, that orla b'chutz laaretz halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So Allah HaMashah Messina is a dimmed deraisa. It wasn't invented by the rabbis. Because Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the din should be Safik deraisa l'chumer. So why does the Mishnah say Safik Allah b'chutz laaretz is mutter? So the Gemara answers in Kiddushin, Kach namer halacha. That's what Allah HaMashah Messina says. Even though Allah b'chutz laaretz is deraisa, it's Allah HaMashah Messina. Sveika mutter, vadoa asa. Vadai Allah is asa, and Safik Allah is mutter. Exactly what does that sentence mean? So the Rambam seems to understand that that line in the Gemara means that Safik Halacha L'Moshe Nisina is always Lekula. Every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Nisina is Lekula. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he says, no, the Gemara didn't say, let's say a tefillin. A lot of things in tefillin are Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. Tefillin have to be black, and tefillin have to be square, and other halachas. So let's say you have a Safik in Hilchas Tefillin on an issue of Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. So the Rambam might say, maybe yeah, maybe no, it's a little questionable details, that the Rambam holds every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Nisina is Lahakim. And the Rambam says, Ma'pitam, the Gemara never said. The Gemara said, this is the package deal of Orla B'chutz Laaretz. Kach Ne'emar Halacha is one package deal. Vaday Orla B'chutz Laaretz is Aser. The Safik Orla B'chutz Laaretz is Mutar. The Gemara never said every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Nisina is Lekula. But I'll call upon him, that's what the Gemara says, that the Safik Orla B'chutz Laaretz is mutter. Even though we hold that it's halacha l'moshe nisina, we say sveika l'hoka. So the Gemara has a klal in brachas on daf lamed vav. Not only if it's a suffix in mitzias, you're not sure, I have oranges, I don't know whether these oranges grew in a pardes, whether they grew on trees that are within the first 3 years or after the first 3 years. Within the first 3 years is called the yaldo, and after the first 3 years is called the zikena. After 3 years old, you're ancient already. It's called the Zkena, no more orla. Within the first year, the tree is called a yaldo. So that's when the prohibition of arba applies. So the Gemara says, not only if you have a suffik in mitzias, whether this tree is within 3 years or after 3 years, what if you know all the facts, but it's a suffik in din? Take for example, there is a, the Gemara has there, machlokes hatanaim, where the berries that grow on a bush are subject to the din of orla. Is a bush din of kitree, and trees have a din of orla, or is a bush din of kivegetable? What bracha do you say on berries that grow on a bush? Do you say hadama? Or you say no, bar pihay, a bush is considered a tree. So that shaila, whether you say bar pihay, it's a bar pihadama on vegetables, that's on the level of the rabbana. But the root of that machlaik is hatanayim, is on the level of the rice, is the berries that grow on the tree, is a din of kitree. Berries that grow on a bush, is a din of kitri, and it's subject to the din of orla, or is it not din of kitri, so it's like a vegetable, so it's not subject. There's no din of orla on vegetables, only a din of orla on trees. And the Taitim call it Smaichel. So the Gemara says, we usually have a rule, whenever there's a machloikes hatanaim in Hilchas orla, kol hamekel ba'aretz, halacha kamaisa b'chutzlor. Whenever there's a machloikes hatanaim regarding orla, even though in Eretz Yisrael we would follow the more strict opinion, we would be machmer, because sofik deraisa l'chumra, or that the roiv of the tanaim hold l'chumra. But when it comes to chutz l'aretz, as long as there's a minority opinion that's legitimate, so that's called the sofik orla b'chutz l'aretz. Not only a sofik in mitzias, even a sofik in din, and even a sofik where it's not a 50-50 sofik. 95% of the poskim say l'achmer, 5% of the poskim say l'hakel. So even though you have acharab lahatos, but it's considered a suffik koldu. And a suffik koldu, a slight bit of a suffik, you also say, suffik orla b'chutz l'aretz is lahaka. So the Gemara says there in Brachas Daf Lamed Vav, what about this machlek? This happens to be a machlek at Bishan and Yisilo, whether a bush is in a kitchen, or the berries that grow in a bush is in a vegetable. So Bishamai are the ones who are makel. Bishamai hold that a bush is not in a kitchen, and you say Baruch Hadoma on the berries, and it's not subject to the din of orla. We pass like Basilo, that whatever grows on the bush is considered peris ayilo. It's the bush is considered a tree. So the Gemara says, true in Eretz Yisrael we pass like Basilo, that the laws of orla apply to the berries that grow on the bush. And maybe in chutzlars we should say Safek orla b'chutzlars should be in the hakel. But I'll make a baretz. It should be considered a suffik koldu. The fact that Beishamai, we pass like Basil because they were in the majority. But Beishamai, let's say, were 20% of the Rabban. Basil were 80% of the Rabban. So 20% of the Rabbanim say, Lahokimah, this is not our law. So that should count as a suffik koldu. You should say it's called suffik alam chutzlos, Lahokimah. So the Gemara says wrong. The Gemara makes a statement, Beishamai, Bemakim Basil, Eina Mishnah. We never pass like Beishamai. There are 24 cases that we do pass from like Bishamai. But when we don't pass from like Bishamai, you can't even rely on their opinion that it should be considered a suffik koldu. So it's interesting. The original statement in the Gemara that Eilu V'Eilu Divin L'Kim Chaim appears in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel Beis in connection with the many disputes between Bishamai and Bishilo. So Bishamai and Bishilo themselves, we don't go all the way in Eilu V'Eilu. We only say Eilu Divin L'Kim Chaim, that we learn the opinion of Bishamai that we don't accept, it constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We don't say that we consider their shita as a suffik koldu. When it comes to other machlokes hatanaim, other machlokes amoraim, there the klal of Eilu V'Eilu even goes further. Not only do we say that when you study the minority opinion that's not accepted l'aloche, it's a chetzer shel Torah and it constitutes a kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we say even more than that it's considered, even though the minority opinion was outvoted, we consider it a suffik koldu, we would be mekel ba'orla b'chutz l'aretz. We consider the minority opinion of other machlokes in more than we consider Bishamai and Makom Basil. Why should that be so? This is a chapela. So the Achrayim explain why. Because Bishamai and Basil sat together and they argued it out, and the Bishamai were outvoted. Or in 24 cases, the Basil were outvoted. So if the Chachamim sat together, hold the dominion, and they outvoted Bishamai, or in 24 cases, Bishamai outvoted Basil, so that's it. They were outvoted, so then we can't even rely, we don't rely on the Shita Sayyid. We only say Eilu to the extent that learning their Shita, learning the minority opinion, constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We don't say that it constitutes a Savi Kolim. They were together and they were outvoted. But if you have any other machlokes, Tanoim or Amoraim, And you have the majority opinion is followed, but they were never omdu l'minyan. They weren't together, and they weren't outvoted. Their miut was not outvoted. Then we say elu v'elu to even a greater extent. We say elu v'elu that with respect to arla b'chutzlarts, that's considered safek omdahu, and it's enough to be mekala. The Gemara has another din like that, where we consider the minority opinion that is not accepted, we consider as if it accomplishes that it's called the safek omdahu, namely with respect to avelus. The Gemara has a klal, kol makam shatamotzi rabbi machmirin. If you have a machloikis tanoim, let's say, and the majority of the tanoim are machmir, so after rabbi machmir, you have to follow the majority opinion, even if you're dealing with the din derabbanan. That's not called safek derabbanan lekula. If you have a machloikis, 80% of the rabbanim say lekula, 20% say lekula, and an issue derabbanan. That's not a safek derabbanan. After rabbi machmir, you follow the 80%. So the Gemara says that's only in Kol HaTorah Kula with respect to all other dinim, dinim deraisa, dinim derabbanan. When it comes to avelus, there we say halacha k'tiba nekel ba'avol. We follow the minority opinion. So the Ramban in the Sefer Torah Sa'adam, Ramban was a doctor by profession, and he wrote a Sefer Torah Sa'adam, a beautiful Sefer, about what are the dinim that are important to know when a baby is born, about delivering babies on Shabbos, about delivering babies on the weekdays, delivering babies for non-Jewish women, all the dinim about delivering babies. Then he talks about when the baby grows up and he gets sick, about taking medications, kosher medications, non-kosher medications, taking medication on Shabbos, eating on Yom Kippur, when someone is chole. Then he talks about when a person gets sick, when he dies, about ripping kriya, about observing avelus. Then once he talks about avelus, he talks about the laws of Tisha B'av, agav the laws of avelus. That's about birth, sickness, death, mourning, all these things. That's called Tarasod, the life of me. So the Ramban, in the Torah Sodom, quotes a Tosfos from Erevin, which is printed in our Gemaras. We have the Tosfos that he quotes, exactly verbatim. Tosfos quotes in Erevin the sheet of Shiras HaGaonim. Ashkenazi and Paskin, like the Baalei HaTosfos, that all of Avelus is only Midirabbanan. Avelus Yom Rishon and Shiva and Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, everything is only Midirabbanan. But the opinion of the Gaonim, which the Sfardim follow, is that Avelus Yom Rishon is the rice. So the first day of Shiva, the Mechaber Paskin, like the Divrei HaGaonim, is the Dimber rice. So Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim that you shouldn't make a mistake, you shouldn't think that Halacha Dira Mekel Ba'ovel only applies if you're talking about Dinim Derabbanan. So you start off with a din, sofik derabbanan lekula, so not only a 50-50 sofik, if it's a milchus avelus, even if it's 95% lahachmer, 95% of the rabbanan say lahachmer, 5% say lahakel, so you still say halacha derabbanan lekel ba'avel. So Tosha says, no, it doesn't have to start off that it's a din derabbanan, the sofik derabbanan lekula, and we even go more than a sofik ashokel, even an avelus yam rishon, that you're dealing with a din deraisa, you still say halacha derabbanan lekel ba'avel. So the Ramban quotes this Tosfos B'Shem HaGaonim, which is printed in Agimaris, and he has to find a makor in a pasuk. So he gives you a makor, a source for that din. That's a case where you say Sofik Daraisa Lekulam, just like we said, or the Bechutzlort is Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's a din Daraisa, the Kach Nemar Halacha. Sofik Or the Bechutzlort is Mutar. So the same is true regarding Avelus. Even if there would be aspects of Avelus, Avelus and Rishon, which according to the opinion of the Gaonim is the Raisa, and Mechaber Paskins like that, it's Sfardim, nonetheless, you still say, Halacha Ketem HaMekabal. So what kind of a din is that? So that's the Ran on the Rif on the end of the first painting of Kedushin explains it. Means when you have a Machlaikas, even if it's not 50-50, it's 95% Lahachmer, 5% Lahakel, that's called the Sufik Kaldu. It's a slight Sufik. A real Sufik would be if it would be close to 50-50. There's nowhere close to 50-50. 95-5. So still, that's considered a Sufik Kaldu, and we have a Pasuk that teaches us, a man fishes around to find the Pasuk, you have a Mokra and a Pasuk that teaches us that any Sufik Kaldu in Avelus, you go to Kula. Not only a Sufik in Metzias, I'm not sure if that man is my brother, because my mother remarried and she had a whatever, so Shaila, is it my brother or not? Even if it's a Sufik in Din, you still say, Eilu v'eilu dimi l'kimchaim, the minority opinion that was outvoted is not that we assume that he's wrong. We don't pass like the minority opinion. But still, it's what to consider to declare the case as one of a Sufik Kaldu. Then we have the Achrayim point out you find in Mishnayos. I remember one professor was developing a whole thing about what is the Hashkafa of modern orthodoxy. A whole lecture to do. So he gave a whole presentation that there are 8 points that represent modern orthodoxy. So one of the points was the Mishnah Brura invented an expression, Mishnah Brura Chafetz Chaim invented a phrase, HaMachmer Tova Ola Bracha. This was invented by the Mishnah Brura. So one of the students raised his hand and he said, there's a Tosfos in Shabbos and Perikira, Daf such and such. The kid got up in the middle of the lecture. He said, Tosfos has the expression, HaMachmer Tova Ola Bracha. It appears in Shulchan Aruch many times, before the Mishnah Brura, several centuries before the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura didn't invent. But we know what the professor meant. So the modern Orthodox don't go for this. Modern Orthodox don't go for this style of Amach Metolabroch. This was what this professor was developing, I think. So you have a Mishnayis, this attitude. Tanaim, you have Mishnayis in Beitza, another place. And Tana says, I know that the din is like this, but I'm Machmer like the minority opinion. What do you gain by being Machmer but like the minority opinion? If we pass Nach Ram Lahatas, what are you gaining by being Machmer? So the answer is because Eilu Yehu Dibeli Kimcha, the minority opinion, we don't assume that he's dead wrong. Eilu Yehu, they're both right. Each one has a different perspective. In his perspective, it's correct. The halacha was supposed to pass him like the rabbi. But as an act of Midas Hasidus, this is considered Sofik Deraisa Luchum. Real Sofik Deraisa Luchum, if it's close to 50-50. That's a Sofik Deraisa Luchum, a Sofik HaShafel, 50-50. And even if it's 95-5, it's called the Sofik Kolduhu. And as an act of Midas Hasidus, it's considered Sofik Deraisa Luchum to be Choshish for the Shita Sayachet, even though we don't pass from like that Shita Sayachet. Then you have also in the Gemara, in a few different Sifters, and Brachas, and Shabbos, and in Masechas Nida, you have sometimes the Gemara has a situation, there's a Machlokes HaTanai, the Gemara says it's only by Dinim Derabbanan. You have a Din Derabbanan, and there's a Machlokes HaTanai, and Roi Batanayim say Lahachmer, 95% of the Tanayim say Lahachmer, and there's one, 5% of the Tanayim say Lahachmer. And we're really supposed to paskin Lahachmer. You should close to follow the right. But it's a big shas al-taka hefzad merube. So the Gemara has an expression, kedai harab shimen lis mechola b'shas al-taka. Kedai harab gamliel lis mechola b'shas al-taka. If you're talking about a din de Rabbanan, but the din is sveka de Rabbanan l'kula, so sveka de Rabbanan is if it's 50-50. It's 95-5, that's not a sveka de Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, but sometimes if it's a big shas al-taka, then we have the right to declare even a Sofik Kolduhu as a Sofik Derabbanan Lekul. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. In Yerideya, there's a machlokes b'shach and netas. Some poskim want to apply Kedai Harapalan and Nismachol b'shas hatak even to a case where the Shaila is a dealing on a din deraisa. So that's problematic. What does it help that 95% and 5% that it's called a Sofik Kolduhu? So what? But Sofik deraisa l'chumer. There should be Yishgo Basaroi Vacharabu Matas. And even if you consider this fact that it's a Sufik Kaldu, but Sufik Deraisa is Lachumer. So that's problematic. Why there's such an opinion? But the Pashup Shad, all the Gemaras happen to be talking about Dinim Rabbanan. And Brachas and Shabbos is talking about Muktze. Brachas is talking about the Gzeira Nakhil beside Kriyashma after Chatzos Alayla. And Anid is talking about a Dinim Rabbanan of Tumas Meislais. So when you're dealing with a Dinim Rabbanan, even though we should follow the 95% of Rabbi, but since there is the Shitas Ayichidim, the 5% who disagree, so we say that accomplishes that you have in front of you a Sufik Kaldu, and the Shas Hadchak, you can even stretch and to apply Sufik Derabbanan Lekula even to a Sufik Kaldu. We have a fifth case where this is relevant, those who ever learned Sanhedrin. So Gemara has an unbelievable din in Masechah Sanhedrin. There was a din tor between Reuben and Shimon, and the Bezdin gave up Pesach, and then they realized they made a mistake. We awarded the money to Reuben, and he's not really entitled to the money. So it's Gezel, so tell him to give back the money. So we say, no. Since there's a Shaila and din, so it depends how bad an error did they make. The Gemara says, if it's Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, they made an outright mistake. There is no Shita who holds like that. Tov B'Dvar Mishnah is Chayzer. Or if there was a Machloikes, there was a machlokes hachachamim, and it was om de l'minyan. There was a machlokes b'shamim b'silva, or machlokes hatanai, and they argued it out, and they voted on it, Omdalaminion. And the Bezdin made a mistake. They passed like the minority opinion that was out there. So wrong is wrong, so you have to reverse the Pesach. But what if the mistake of the Bezdin, what if the error was a Tor B'Shikol Hadas? What's the definition of Tor B'Shikol Hadas? So the Gemara says, Yavah Machloikas HaTanoim, or Machloikas HaMaroim. The majority hold one way, the minority disagree, and there's never Omdalaminion. But it mehilchas elahedra. It was never voted upon. But the majority hold like this. The Sugya D'Alma, the generally accepted Pesach, is you go with the majority. And the Bezdin made a mistake, and they paskin the first time around. They paskin like the minority. So the Gemara says that Baldin, who won the first time, is now Muchzik. He's holding the money in his bank account, in his mattress, wherever he keeps his money, his pocket. So the Baldin who won the Dintar the first time around has the money, you can say, Kimli Kishita Sayochi. Since Amuchza, Amoitza Mahavera, all of Arai, you can't be Moitzi Momin based on a Raiv. So here also, you have no right to force him to give back the money to the other Baldin. He has a right to say, I want to stick to the first Pesach. The first Pesach was not an absolute error. If the first Pesach would be out and out a mistake, Tor B'dvar Mishnah, So a mistake is a mistake. You have the best has to be machzor the pesach. But if the first pesach was only taught b'shikol hadas, the majority of the poskim go like that. But there is a minority who go the reverse. So we say elu elu dimi l'kim chayim. To the extent that the muchzor who won the dinner the first time around can say, I want to keep holding on to the money. I hold like the miut kimli kishita sam miut. There are limitations. How far do you go? When do you apply Elu Yelu? So the Poskim have a cloud. Let's say you have 100 Tanoim. 99 Tanoim say one way, one Tana stands out by himself. But that's a Shita Yechidot. So that doesn't count. You've got to have 95% and 5%. If you have just a Shita Yechidot, that doesn't count. And then in Shulchan Aruch you have the Beis Shmuel and Amedeza has the following Shaila. What if you have 98% of the Rishonim say one way, and the Rambam and the Rima Gash say Fakir? So the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Tshuvas of the Achronim, that counts as one Shita, because the Rambam was so kofuf to the Rima Gash, the Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rima Gash. And he once, as a little child, the Rima Gash met the Rambam and gave him a bracha. He should be matzliach and learning. And the Rambam says about the Rima Gash, Sichlo Mavis B'chol HaTalmud. He was awesome, literally, mothers. He was awesome. He was such a genius. He was awesome. So the Rambam usually is so kofuf to the Rima. Every so often the Rambam disagrees with this super genius, with the Rima Gash. But most of the time the Rambam is so kofuf to the Rima Gash, so the Bishmol writes in Ebenezer, you can't even consider this two independent opinions. It's the Rima Gash and the Rima Gash. The Rambam just said over what the Rima Gash said. So that only counts as one sheep in the door. So then you don't apply all the rules of Eilu Eilu Dibbele Kimra. When we studied the Rima Gash sheep, it's Talmud Torah, but we wouldn't say Halacha Lemaisa, that is Kedai to be Machme for his sheep, and Mishas Al-Khak, you can rely on it, and so on and so forth. We just ignore it. Or a lot of times you have a Machlekes, that's a Machlekes in Metzias. Usually we avoid that. Usually the Ramban writes, it doesn't make sense that the Chachamim and the Gemara should argue on a Machlekes in Metzias. Why did they experiment? Why did they ascertain what the facts are? The Greeks didn't believe in experimentation. They felt that that's for slaves. Manual labor, menial labor, to do work with your hands, to make an experiment, to find out what the facts are. That's beneath the dignity of the free man. Free men have to philosophize. How come fire goes up? How come water goes down? How come the fire doesn't put out the water? How come the water puts out the fire? Everything went with philosophy. And the Jewish people never helped from that belonging with the philosophy. The Tanaim were always trying to ascertain what the facts are. Rav Soloveitchik used to use his own expression. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the beginning of Brachas, David HaMelech says, look at the difference between me and the other king. The other kings sit on the throne, and everything is neat and clean in their royal outfits, and David HaMelech is paskin and shilas and hilchas neither. And he holds in his hands a mara, and he has to paskin whether the mara is a maratome, maratohar. A woman loses a baby, and he has to look at the fetus to see. Yadai melochlochas v'dam shvir v'shili. He's holding in his hands the dead child to see whether it has its source of blood, doesn't have its source of blood, it doesn't philosophize. He goes down to the nitty gritty of Metzius. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, not like the Greek philosophers, we believe in dam shvir v'shili. Yadam Malachoch is the Dam Shvev Vashili Agdoban Amalek. That's what the Ramban has in a few cases, in a few places. The Ramban has this famous comment. It doesn't make sense that there should be a Machloikis and Metzias. The Talmud should ascertain what the facts are. You know, you're not supposed to argue about Metzias, but every so often, there is a Machloikis and Metzias. We often have a Machloikis Amaroyim, we have a Machloikis Abay Barovah. What did Rav Meir mean in the Mishnah? So Rav Meir only meant one or the other. You can't say Elo V'Elo. Rav Meir didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. So one is right and one is wrong. When you have a machlokes, Ali ben Nafshai, Rav Meir, if you disagree, what did the Rabbanu Shalom mean when he gave the din in the Torah? So that's what the Rabbanu Shalom said in Har Sinai. There are a lot of areas in Halacha that are gray areas, and I leave it up to the Hachroah, the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davadar, based on their perception of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Different people have different perspectives, each one looking from a different perspective. Each one is right. But if you have a machloikis, not alibad the nafshah, you have a machloikis, alibad the chadman the omar. Abai Barabba argue, what's the girsa in the Mishnah? Abai Barabba argue, what did Rav Meir mean? So one is right and one is wrong. The Mishnah is not supposed to have two girsas. So whenever it's a machloikis and metzias, then you can't say elo v'elo divrei the kimcha. The Gemara in the first parak in Gittin talks about the Pilegish Pigibo story. It's a Feshoftim. So the Gemara says that the husband got very upset at his wife and he kicked her out of the house and he killed her. So what did he get so upset about his wife for? So the Gemara has a machloikis and metzias. What did he get so upset about his wife for? So the Gemara says they met Eliyahu HaNavi and they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what is the Rabbanu Shalom learning these days? So Rabbanu Shalom is learning Pilegish Begivim. And what does the Rabbanu Shalom say about what happened? Rabbanu Shalom says, Eilu Yehle Divi Likim Chai. So how can they say, Eilu Yehle Tzah Machlekes and Metzias? So the answer is, it's not a stirah. Both things happen. The Machlekes Amarayim was, which of the two things that happened is what triggered the husband's anger at his wife? Why did he get so angry at his wife? But it could be that both happened. Sometimes something that seems to be a Machlekes and Metzias, and not necessarily a Machlekes either this or this, could be that both things happened. But if you have an outright machlokes and metzias, it can't be that they're both right. I had a professor of history in the college who used to mix up who won the war. And at the 5 o'clock session, he said that they won the war. 6 o'clock chaos, he said the other side won the war. That's, you don't say able to be able. Either they won the war, or they won the war. There's no room for interpretation over there. So that's what Rashi and Tosfos write on the Gemara and the Gemara and Sukkos like that. Eilu v'yelu only applies when you have a machlokes alibe dan avshay. You have a machlokes alibe d'chad ban d'omar, so it doesn't make sense to say eilu v'yelu. So whenever it's a machlokes and metzias, all of this will fall off. Once we decide who's right and who's wrong, what is wrong is wrong, and there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah to study something that's absolutely wrong, and you won't say that b'shas ha'takik we rely on the sheet, and you can't say halacha de'bameka ba'avel, you can't say halacha de'bameka be'erevin, can't say kol amekal bartz alach gemaisa b'chutz lords by orlo. All of these dinim fall away. It's very interesting. The Gemara has an agadate. The Gemara comments on the pasuk v'yamar b'yam ha'hu hinele kein ze kivin lo v'yoshiyen ze Hashem kivin lo negila minis mochad b'shuvasa. So the Gemara understands that the word ze always means something that you can mimar be'etzba. And Moshe Rabbeinu said ze lachem atamei. He's telling Manasseh which are the non-kosher animals. So the Gemara says he picked up the animal and he showed him, this is a non-kosher azel hamatami. Or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu about the mitzvah, machzah shekel, ze yitnu koloi, rab kudim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu at Be'er Shalesh. He showed him what it is. Ze yitnu, ze means something you can see. Or HaKadosh azel achem. So Rashi HaChumash quotes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu levana b'chidush and he said, kazer evi kadesh. When you see the levana like this size, then you can declare that it's Rosh Chodesh. Where else does it say Zeh? By the menorah. Zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. So the Gemara says, Zeh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah shaleish. And he said, I want you to make me a menorah that looks exactly like this. So that's why the Gemara says in this Kasha Moshe, it was very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to make the menorah. Why was it so difficult that Hashmonaim succeeded in making a menorah? Why was it so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu had a Hayra Shoah. He has to make the menorah exactly kamarei asher haresa behar. Has to look exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed. The Doris, there is no such thing. The Doris, they make a menorah with kaftorim and lim and prochem and shayim and partik. It does not have to look exactly the way it looked on Har Sinai. But that was a din b'shoah, Hayra Shoah, that the menorah and the Mishkan has to look exactly kamarei. But that's how the Gemara has a tradition. Whenever the word zeh appears in Tanakh, means something that you mara be'etzma, visual aid, you can see what it is. Here the pasuk comes be amar be'yamahu, hinei elokeinu zeh. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. What do you mean zeh? So the Gemara says, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasis mocha la tzadik, lasis lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a dance with the tzadike, Baruch Hu is going to be the emtza, tzadike are going to dance around in a circle, and the low point in the middle, there'll be some kind of gilu shechina, they'll be able to see something representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll point mara be'etzma, and they'll say, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, negilu v'nis mocha bishu asa. Remember, when I was a little boy, my father was always a rabbi. So on Simchas Torah, so there was Mechabed the rabbi with the first pasuk, got the Harei Zeh L'Das. Okay, Mechabed. President of the shul, and the Gaboyim, and the people that donate a lot of money. Then the Kohen always gets Kohen Echa, Yil B'Shit Tzedek. Then they always give the next pasuk to a lady, Rabbi David Abdecha. I remember they once gave Rabbi Soloveitchik the first pasuk, and got the Harei Zeh. And then he came to Baruch David Abdecha, the pasuk gift to Kohen Echa Yehud Bishit Tzedek. So there was no other lady in the shul. And in the small meeting, so he gave it to Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, David HaMelech was not a lady. No meaning, you don't have to give Baruch David Abdecha to a lady. You give it to someone else. I already got a pasuk. You don't have to give me the pasuk. David was not a lady. So remember, I was the rabbi's son, so they had to give me a pasuk. But the real good psukim they gave to the Balabatim, who gave a lot of money, they always stuck me with the same pasuk. The Amaba Yamahu, so long, the niggin, it doesn't fit into the niggin. I'm always so angry. The Amaba Yamahu, Yinelo Kenazah, Kinelo Yashinazah, Hashem, Kinelo, Nagilam and Ismachar, Yeshua, so. The other psukim are so much better. I'm always angry. Why did they stick me again with that pasuk? Till Rabbi Soloveitchik said in Shia, that pasuk is the basis of the whole Hakkofes on Simchas Torah. He said in the Vilna Goyen's Klois, the Vilna Goyen had a minute, he would rope off the bima on Simchas Torah. Because when we're dancing around the bima, we assume the Shechina is in the middle. We act as if the Shechina is in the middle. So it's not the Recheretz that people should stand where the Shechina is. We're dancing around Al Shem, this Mochel. Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasis Mochel at Tzadik, lasis Lod. We're going to dance in a circular dance, and the Shechina is going to be in the middle of the able of points. And then I felt I always got the best puzzle. That was the basis of the whole Hakotis on Simchas Torah. So they quote the comment that's attributed to Rabbi Kivega and to the Chafetz Chaim and to many other Gdolim in between Rabbi Kivega and the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Kivega was a misnagdim and he had a grandson who was a Chassidish Rebbe, Rabbi Leibel Eger. He had a son-in-law, Shmuel Birnbaum, who was a Chassid. They had their friction. Mesivus was a good friend of Rebbe. Mesivus was also a Misnagid, he was also blessed by the son of was a Chassid, and they had their friction. So Rebbe Kivegan, it's attributed to him and to Chafetz Chaim, many other Gedolim. He said, when you have a circular dance and the Shechina is in the middle, every point on the circle is equidistant to the center. Every radius is equal in distance to the other radius. So he said, the Misnagdim stand on one side of the circle. We have one perspective. From our perspective, Sidus is wrong. Sidus stand on the other side of the circle. They're looking at the same thing. They have a different perspective. Everyone is equidistant to the Baruch Shalom. And it's Eilu Yehle Dimu the Kim Chai. He kratz tois, he kvetch tois, even though he doesn't hold from the Hasidim. But he said, they have a little thing. He felt that Eilu Yehle, both groups are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the same extent. Each one has a different derech and avodas Hashem, but that's the idea of Elohim. People looking at the same body of information, the same list of tariag mitzvahs, each one looks from a different perspective. So in the middle, everything looks a little differently, and they're all acceptable. So this is the idea. This is what the Beis Yitzchak writes in his Tshuva Sefer, that the Rebbe Mishalolam made a Nes Chanukah, even though Halacha Lamaisa in the later generations is going to be accepted Halacha, that the Mashkin Bei Matvachaya, the Shemen and the Beis HaMikdash is just not Mekabel Tumah. If you have Shemen outside of the Beis HaMikdash and it's Mekabel Tumah, they're going to have a lot of use for the Menachah. But if you have Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash, it's just not Mekabel Tumah. Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash is not Mekabel Tumah. So there was no such thing as Timur Kol Shmanu. It doesn't exist. But in that generation, the Pesach HaMekubal was not so. Even though in the later generation, when Yosef Ben Yezi is going to come around, that's how we're going to paskin. Shem in the Beis HaMikdash does not Mekabel Tumah. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a miracle, because at that time, the Pesach HaMekubal was that Shem in the Beis HaMikdash is Mekabel Tumah. So that's one of the important lessons that we should learn. We should learn from Chanukah. There is a big dispute. I'll just mention it. It's a little late. There is a medrash that appears in quite a few sources. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes all these sources in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, that kol ma she'aser talmid vasik lechadish nemar lo lemoshe misinai. Any good bar Torah that a big Talmid Chacham is going to come up with in the later generations, everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, if every single Siv Kotlin in the Mishnah Berurah and the Sha'arat Sin, every Bir Alocha, everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, how is there any room for any machloikas? The Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu all the deal. So there's a machloikas, how to understand what machloikas is all about. So the Goyim are of the opinion, every machloikas means that they simply forgot. They forgot what the tradition was. There was a tradition on every single din, and they forgot. So the Rambam quotes the opinion of the Goyim in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says it's an embarrassment to adopt such a position. It means the Jews forgot 98%. The most precious thing that we have is the Torah. We forgot 98% of the Torah, and every page in Shas is a machloikas. He thought from the beginning of the Tiyat, everything is machloikas. I used to have a Talmud Mashir, his nephew I think is learning here this year. So I always used to ask, what's the din in this case? He would always say, it's a machloikas. He was always the right answer. And then it's a machloikas. Who? He always knew the right answer. Tanoim, Amarim, Rishonim, Achronim. He always knew the right answer. I can do. But if you ever ask what's the din, you say machlekes, you know for sure that you're right. Everything, come out, everything is a machlekes. So the question is, where's the source of all the machlekes? So according to the Goyim, every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And whoever, well, every machlekes is based on forgetfulness. They simply forgot 98% of the din. And it's hard to understand, where's the room to say, Eloviyeta divi lekimchai? The one who's right is right, the one who's wrong is absolutely dead wrong. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And how did the Goyim understand the concept of Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Lahem? So they explain, the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Lahem is just to check that you didn't make a mistake in the Masorah. You don't need Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Lahem. All the din of Namor Lo LeMoshe Misinai. The Midrash, you give a Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Lahem, is just a way to make sure that you haven't distorted your Masorah. And the Rambam's opinion is the more popular view. Rambam says, Chas v'chalila, how can you say that? Whatever they had by Masorah, let's say Halacha Moshe Misina. Whatever is Halacha Moshe Misina, there's no room for machloikas. What do you mean? They forgot. Once in a while, the Rambam also knows. Once in a long while, you have a machloikas and a Halacha Moshe Misina. Things that they forgot something. But the Rambam says, that's an embarrassment. That really happened. It's going to be a machloikas on a halacha Moshe Misina. Means that they forgot something. Rambam says the bulk of the machloikas are because there was no masorah explicitly on this day. They had the midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then, and based on the midrash, the Bezdin Shebechol Dovador has the right to develop the halacha the way they see fit. And the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Bezdin Avodah Sheb Yerushalayim, they have the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and every generation have the right to darshan with the midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then the way they want. They don't have to follow precedent. The Gemara says in the beginning of the Bayi Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash was only Chorah for 70 years. Beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, they decided to do Nisach HaYayin differently. They knew for 410 years in the Bayi Rishon how they did Nisach HaYayin. The Bayi Sheni, they decided they're going to disagree with Shlomo HaMelech. But for 410 years they did like that. So this Fasemis asks on Zohar, we mean to say that for 410 years they were never Yotzei Nisach HaYayin. How can it be? So the answer is no. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech and the Bayis Rishon, they darshan the Pesukim one way. In the days of the Bayis Sheni, they had the right to darshan the Pesukim differently. During their generation, they're supposed to follow their Rabbanim. During the later generation, they're supposed to follow their Rabbanim. Just because an earlier Bezdin who was greater in learning than me said one way, doesn't mean that I'm not entitled to an opinion. You only need a Bezdin God of the Dominion if you want to repeal a rabbinic enactment. If you darshan and psukim in the Chumash, all the Rishonim quotes from the Talmud of Yerushalmi, you don't need a Bezdin God of the Dominion. Just need a Bezdin that should be qualified. But that's the generally accepted, that's the popular opinion, is the way the Rambam said. Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Lahem, give the Chachamim and every generation the right to come up with new dinim. You don't need a Masorah in every single thing. Whatever they had a Masorah, had a Masorah, that's Halacha Moshe Misin. Whatever they had a Masorah, 99% of the time they didn't forget. It's rare, it's very rare you're going to have a Machlokes regarding Halacha Moshe Misin. Machloikas were always on those issues, but there was no Masorah, and they wanted Darshan the Pesukim. And in fact, there's a Machloikas, the Chidor has many, many Svarim. So the Chidor writes in one of his Svarim, they say he died at the age of 83, and they claim the Agoda goes that he wrote 83 Svarim. They have over 75 Svarim. I don't think they have till 83, but they have, and each Sefer is a whole Sefer, not some, a little chapter. Each Sefer is a whole encyclopedia of this and encyclopedia of that. He was one of the first to write encyclopedias of Halacha and Agoda, and Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan, all kinds of encyclopedias. So he has a Sefer, a commentary on Megillas Ruth, that's called Simchas HaRegel. So in the Sefer on Megillas Ruth, he quotes a Machloikas Achroinim. If the Bezdin is Mecharish Adin, the Araisa, based on Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan, does that Din the Araisa only apply to Kamal Haba? Because they were just Mecharish today. Or do you say, no, it's a Gloy Muslim affair. This was always the Din from the days of Maimon HaSinai. So he quotes a group of Achrayim, Machazon Ish seems to hold like this. The Din the Araisa is only Noi Mekanel Haba. There was no Masorah on it. They darshaned with the Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan. So we're clearly assuming like the Rambam, but the Bezdin, you don't have to have a tradition on every single bit. You have to have a tradition on the Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan. Once you have the Midrash, you can use the Midrash to develop a new din. And many Pesukim hold the whole new din, just like a din de Rabbanan is only Noyeg Mekanel Haba. So even Dinim Daraisa, that the Bezdin Darshan is based on the Yud Gimel Midrash, it's only Mekanel Haba. So the story of Chanukah, is involved in a machloikis ha-tarayim, how to read the pasuk. Chomashke shishasa b'chol tuli, yitma. Imam Sokh, the end of the first parakas. How do you translate the word yitma? Yitma means it's makabal tuma. Yitma means it's matami acherim, not just it is makabal tuma. Or yitma means it's machsha makabal tuma. But mashke ma not makabal any tuma. So that's the whole shayla. Mashke bey mat b'chay, the mashke me the beis amigdosh. The Gemara says we revert back to the din deraisa. We don't want to introduce din in derabbanan. So if you hold that yitma means it's just machshel kabel tumah, it's not a kabel tumah at all. Tumas mashkim is only derabbanan. So then in the beis hamikdash it's not tumah at all. So they were dealing with a machlokes on a level of deraisa. And the Gemara and the beis Yitzchak says elu liyeh divin kimcha. The Rabbanu Shlom made a miracle because in that generation they held like that. That's like we said the Teretz on the Sfasemus is kasha. For 410 years during the Tkufas Bais Rishon, they held one way, how to do Nisach Hayyai. Then came Bais Sheni, they knew the way they did Nisach Hayyai. There were people who were alive, 80 years old, they remembered. There were many people alive. The Pesukim say, the Chagas, Tari, and Ezra. There were many people who are 80 years old. They remembered everything from the Bais Rishon. They said, Beferish. And nonetheless, they said, we're not going to follow the precedent. We think you should read the Pesukim differently, to do the Nisach Hayyai differently. So that's the concept of Eilu Yelu Dimilu Kimcha. I remember when I was a teenager, I think I was in high school, when they had the Eichmann trial on TV. I used to come home every day and watch the television to see the Eichmann trial. So I remember Gideon Hausner was the lawyer for the Israeli government. He was the prosecutor to give the death penalty to Eichmann. So he was quoting from a decision of a judge in Idaho. He never heard of the judge. He never heard of Idaho. He didn't know how to pronounce Idaho. So he said, he's speaking in Hebrew on the television, you can hear. So he says, the judge in Idaho said like this. So the Israeli judge says, Tagid Idaho. It's Malayal. It's not Malayal. So in the secular courts, precedent is so important. You have to quote a psak from a judge. Oh yes, we couldn't care less. I don't care which judge says, even if all the judges said, I hope not so. I paskin the way I think. You're not mechuyif to paskin the way. Even if you know the earlier bezim was greater b'chachmim v'minyan than you. If you're entitled to an opinion, a lot of times you're not entitled to an opinion. But if you're entitled, if chacham shigir lo'yo has a right to express his opinions, disagreeing with many. And Moshe Feinstein and his tshuvas very often disagrees with the Vilna Gaon, with the Tzom Sofer, with the Nevi Yehuda, and with the Mishnah Brura. So there was a nasty Hungarian rabbi who wrote a whole sefer attacking Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. This man is so arrogant. Who does he think he is? He disagrees with the Nadi Yehuda, with Asam Sefer, with everybody. Anyone who knew Rav Moshe Feinstein knew he was extremely humble. He was not arrogant at all. He was a little too humble. He was very humble. So Rav Moshe was so hurt when he saw that book. He said, I don't think I'm bigger than Asam Sefer, but that's the halacha. He said, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion, but what can I do? People keep on insisting. They want to hear my opinion. So if I'm entitled to an opinion, I'm obligated to give my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement between that view and the Chacham Sofer and the Vilna Gaon all put together. A Talmid Chacham was a Gia Lohayra. Has to express his opinion. He said, maybe I'm not Gia Lohayra. What can I do? People keep on pressuring me. They insist. They want my opinion. There's a lot to come to the realization, the ness of the Pach HaShemen. The Rebbeinu Shlom made a ness because of Eilu Yehla. And Eilu Yehla means Yadarshan Sukkim, this freedom to Darshan Sukkim. The way you think it, it's a person with a Chacham Shigil HaRoch, yes, the Darshan Sukkim, the way he thinks the Pshat is not because for so many generations they said like that. If he holds it's wrong, you gotta say it's wrong. A lot to discuss. Okay, maybe we'll open the floor for discussion.